You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.
My name is Bert Thompson. Along with Sheila, we're the senior pastors of Every Nation Church, GTA, and we welcome you here to our Christmas service. We've been in a series called The Women of Christmas. We've never done one like this before. And what we were looking at is basically the people who are mentioned, who are women, in the Christmas story. You heard some of them from the reading of the Christmas story from Luke, the second chapter, already. But what I'm going to do as we wrap this up is I just want to touch on each of these women and really comment on them as individuals and how they contributed to the Christmas story beyond what we've already learned about in our three sermons, but actually the types of people that they were and why that would be important to the Christmas story, but why it would be important also to you and me to have these types of people in our lives. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, yes, came born in a manger, but he also included other people, other actors, other people in the story to make it happen. And that's the way life goes. Jesus came into the world to teach us that we need help, but we also need that help not just from him directly, but through his people coming into our lives and supporting us. So I'm going to look at what I have been meditating on and thinking about on these three women, Elizabeth, Mary, and Anna, of what types of things they brought to the table. So we're going to start, and I've got three images, paintings actually, that depict each of these women. So the first one is the what's called the Visitation. There's many famous historic paintings that show Elizabeth coming, or Mary coming to Elizabeth. So if you missed the sermons, and I can't re-preach everything we preach, but just a little recap. So Elizabeth was a woman who couldn't have children. She waited a long, 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 long time, her and her husband, and then miraculously, God allowed her to become pregnant, and she became pregnant with a man known as John the Baptist, who was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. Mary had a visitation from an angel, the angel Gabriel, and found herself pregnant supernaturally. And she needed to carry out a very big job, obviously, being the mother of Jesus. But in the Visitation, Mary came to Elizabeth. And what Elizabeth did is encouraged her. She empathized. If there's one thing that I would say Elizabeth represents is empathy, someone who's been there before. You see, it's one thing to feel sorry for another person. It's another to say, I have been there. That's why when you get around people who've had a tragedy similar to yours, there's an extra comfort that they bring. That's why they have we have support groups of people who have been through a certain thing, because that person can empathize way more than the person who has not had that same experience. You know, Christmas, as was mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's a happy time. There's lights, there's music, but it can also be a lonely and sad time, because sometimes it's a reminder of the things that aren't right in our lives. Maybe there's relational strain. Maybe there's family struggles. Maybe for some of you, you're a long ways from home. Maybe it just reminds you of how dysfunctional our family is. You know, all of our families are dysfunctional, believe it or not. They're not perfect. They all have some form of brokenness within him, because we live in a fallen and broken world. But having someone who can empathize with us, I believe that God used Elizabeth to help Mary understand that she was going to have to do something pretty difficult, but she understood because of her own experience, her own story, her own hurt, her own disappointments. I know in my life, I have some people that empathize with me. First of all, my therapist, he is amazing. Now, he's very gifted in this. And when I tell him when I'm going through stuff, man, he gets it, and he can offer like amazing empathy. My wife is very empathetic, and I've got a family. We have a family chat through Facebook, and I'm just grateful for our family because they don't just put up pictures of, you know, all the fun stuff, and we do a lot of that where I was posting, oh, fun that, this, that, and the other. Our kids are spread out in different cities. But also there's freedom, and there's an ability there to say, hey, I'm really going through a rough time right now. And they can put that on the chat, and the rest of the family rallies behind, hey, praying for you. Hey, that must be hard. You see, these people in the story weren't just historical figures. They were real people helping real people. And that's a part of the Christmas story. It's real people helping real people. We need the Elizabeths in our life. We need that person. You know, empathy is feeling another person, but we even need what the Bible describes as compassion, which means to suffer along with. It's compassion, is to have that sense of, not only do I have a sense of what you're going through, but I'm going to help you bear up some of the strain of what you've been through or what you're going through. I can remember just this week, someone in this church here who was having a rough time, and I just texted them. And sometimes what happens is when you're going through a rough time, it's really easy to withdraw. Isn't that many times our human nature is, I just want to like go into my shell. I just want to withdraw. And just for me to be able to reach out a little bit, someone else in the congregation had mentioned that they knew them and it would be good to reach out. And just, it's amazing as we just offer that empathy to say, hey, I heard you're going through a rough time. Hey, just want to let you know, here for you, praying for you. If you want to talk, would love to talk. I'm here. The second person, of course, in the Christmas story that we talked about was Mary, the mother, the earthly mother of the Lord. When I think of Mary, as opposed to Elizabeth, I think of the word empathy. I think of the word compassion. But when it comes to Mary, after hearing what she did and what she went through, all I can think about is courage. Courage. When the angel appeared to her and said, look, something really astounding is going to happen to you. She offered her body. She offered her future. She offered her reputation on what God had spoken to her. Wow, what courage that must have taken to do that. Yes, she had the support of Elizabeth, but at the end of the day, she still had to move forward. She still had to say, yes, Lord, be it unto you as you have determined. You know, the only thing that she said was, you know, how can this be? She didn't say it won't be. She just said, how can it be? And the Lord told her a little bit of the how. But wow, what courage. What courage. And I think in my life, in your life, don't we need those people in our lives that exemplify courage? Don't we need the people around us that are going like, you're going to do what? You're starting a new business? We have some people who job ended in this church, one particular guy, and I can know that, you know, he took a courageous step. And actually, there's two people who started new businesses in our church. It takes courage to do that, doesn't it? There's risk involved. But I love it when I can see people who are courageous, who say, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to move forward, but I'm taking that step. I believe that God has shown me some things that I'm to do, and I'm going to take those steps. I'm going to doubt my doubts, and I'm going to step forward. And don't we need people in our lives? When I was growing up, I grew up in a very modest blue-collar town, and I'm proud of our blue-collar town. How many people grew up in a blue-collar town? You know, like a Hamilton or a you know, a place like that, you know, famous for steel mills and things like that. That's my kind of town, I'm telling you, right there. I came from a lumber town, you know, and fishing town. And, you know, we know how to roll up our sleeves and get to work. And so I grew up in that. But my brother-in-law, my sister, I'm one of seven kids, and my oldest sister, you know, I was still quite young. I was the ring bearer in her wedding, but she married this guy named Cliff. And Cliff is also, you know, he was a famous cyclist in our town because he set a record cycling across Canada. But I remember not only, like, and he was working as a longshoreman, and he decided that he was going to start a home construction business. And I was like his first employee. I was 13, you know, and in the summertime. And so here we are, Cliff and Bert, you know, we're going to start this home construction business, you know. And I didn't realize how crazy he was and whatever. But to me, it was like, yeah, let's do this. And, you know, eventually that business, I remember he built it up to sometimes he was building, you know, 15, 20 homes at a time. And then, you know, things went wrong. And then he started another business. But the point is this. I love seeing courageous people in my life. Mary was courageous. Man, she was courageous. Let's do this. Let's do this, Lord. Let's step out. If that's the plan that you have for me, bring it on. I'm your gal. Courage. The third woman of Christmas that we looked at was Anna. And you know, Anna is the only female prophet mentioned by name in the New Testament. Philip the Evangelist, it said, that had daughters who prophesied, but she's the only one. And it said, if you look closely in the scripture when we read it, it said, and there was a prophet named Anna. A prophet named Anna. Yes, there was prophets in the Old Testament. There was Deborah and different ones, but in the New Testament, only one was named as a prophet, and it was Anna. And here's the thing about Anna. Learned about her last week, but she had her first husband. He died after 7 years, and then she, for many, many years, I think it was 80, went to the temple and prayed and believed God for the Messiah to come. A little thing I learned, that historians actually believe that Anna saw the fall of Jerusalem by the Romans. She was that old that by the time, you know, Christ was born, which is around zero, you know, BC, whatever the transition from BC to AD, she would have probably been old enough to see Rome conquer Jerusalem, which is interesting because when we see the story of Jesus in the whole New Testament, Israel was under Roman occupation. And that's why in our Bible reading it said, when Caesar Augustus was reigning, the census was called. That was under the Roman rule. So when I think about this, here's someone who saw some pretty devastating things in her lifetime. And what she did is she went to the temple and she decided she was going to pray. She was not going to be discouraged about this. She was going to take it to the Lord, and she was going to pray, and she was going to pray, and she was going to pray, and she was going to pray. And when Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus to the temple for the dedication, they were a poor family, so all they could do is offer the two birds, the lowest level of sacrifice when they brought the baby. But when Mary and Joseph got there, there was two people that encountered baby Jesus, and it was Simeon and Anna. And Simeon here, you see, began to speak over the child and began to speak into Mary's life about this child and began to give her words of encouragement. But it says something different about Anna, which I think is just pretty amazing. She said she went out and started prophesying, speaking to everybody about the coming Messiah. For anyone who was looking for the Redeemer to come, she got loud. She got out there and she started speaking. So even though she had this side of her, I always thought that she must have been an introvert to be able to just go to the temple every day and pray. I thought, wow, she must have been a real introvert. Not so at all. The Bible said that she spread this word. She prophesied to everyone around, this is the Messiah. He's come to redeem the world. This baby that was dedicated at the temple, that's him. So she actually prophesied. When I think of Anna, I think of the word visionary. or maybe a modern word, futurist. Someone who doesn't get discouraged but says what's going to happen in the future. Can say, it might be dark now. Yeah, we might have been overcome by Rome, but this is not the end of the story. Because our coming king is not coming with political power. He is coming with spiritual power. Not just to change external things, but to change the hearts of men and women, boys and girls forever. And establish a new kingdom that will start now, but it will go on forever. She was a visionary. She was one who could see more. And you know, we need those visionaries in our lives. I have a friend named Wayne. Some of you might have met him. He came recently to visit here. But he was instrumental in helping us start our first church in Calgary at the University of Calgary. And Wayne's a big, tall, black guy, big personality. But there's something about Wayne is that he prophesies. And he prophesies over me. Hey, Bert. Just remember, you came from this lineage of a family that had an outpouring in 1948 in North Battleford, Saskatchewan. And the Holy Spirit was poured out there and went around the world. And you're from that lineage. And that anointing is on your life to continue on. I'm like, okay. it's like, and if you ever get around, he'd do that to you too. Oh, man. He's a visionary. He's a prophet in the sense of it doesn't matter if things are looking, you know, a little bleak and you're just like trudging along, just trying to make it another day. How many have days like that? Two people. Wow. You guys need to pray for us. I know you're all lying, so. There's days, right, where you get up in the morning and it's like you're not too far into your day, and it's like, oh, I can't wait till this day's over. That's not really a great way to live, is it? And we all hope that we don't have too many days like that. But having someone in our lives that can speak over us, be the Anna, be the visionary, be the prophetess in our lives. And so I think there's just a wonderful tapestry of these women that exemplify not only the story of Christmas, but what we need today as we consider Christmas 2024. So I have one more slide, and this isn't the woman, but this is Christ our King who came humbly in a manger. Almighty God, who was brought low to show his love for us, a baby king. And you might not have someone who really empathizes with you in your life. You might say, man, I wish I had friends like you, Bert. Maybe I don't have many, so it's not like people are calling me every day to empathize, prophesy, and call me to courage, okay? So this is a highlight reel, you understand, okay? But sometimes I feel like I could use some more, though, so just, I don't want to make it sound more glorious than it is. But you might be saying, I struggle, I don't have friends like that, I lack. Well, there's a couple things. One is look for them this year and open up your life. And if you see someone that exemplifies that courage or empathy, draw a little closer to them. Draw a little closer to them. Make some steps in your friendships to say, you know what? You don't have to be all wax eloquent, say, I really need a prophetess in my life. I see that on your life. Could you prophesy? You don't do any of that, okay? You be cool. But you know when you see someone that might exemplify these characteristics, I encourage you, draw near to them. Pull them into your life. Pull the people into your life that are going to enrich your life. They're going to be lifting you up in one of these three ways. But ultimately, even where we lack that in our human relationships, Jesus himself is both prophet, priest, and king. And when I talked about Anna, Mary, and Elizabeth, we might say that each of them exemplified one part of who Jesus is, prophet, priest, or king. Of course, Elizabeth exemplified that empathy. And Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "We do not have a high priest," speaking of Jesus, "who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but he was tempted in every way, yet without sin." So ultimately, if there's someone that empathizes with you more than any human person, has compassion with you more than any other person, it's Jesus himself. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he knows where you're at, folks, more than any person will ever know. He knows when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep and you're flooded with anxious or depressing or whatever thoughts. Jesus, you can just say, "Jesus, here I am. Be with me. Be with me." And he will. Doesn't mean everything just goes away, but it means that he is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus isn't only the great priest, but he's also the great king. He is the most courageous one. He is the one who came from heaven to earth. He is the one who, in the midst of, could have called the whole thing off when he was suffering. He could have called it all off. He could have had thousands of angels intervene at any time. But he took courageous steps and said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Because it takes an eternal sacrifice for an eternal debt. And an eternal debt of sin is what we all have committed. And it takes an eternal sacrifice. And that was God himself in Jesus. And so Jesus was courageous. In the garden, he sweated drops of blood. It wasn't easy, even for the Son of God, because he was fully God, but he was also fully man. And so in his humanity, he had to struggle just like we would to have courage. The difference is that he always succeeded. That's why he's our champion. That's why he's our champion. That's why he's our king, is because he is the ultimate one of courage. And when you're afraid, and when you don't know what that next step is, or maybe there's something with your employment, maybe there's a sickness, maybe there's other tragedy, or in your own life, and you need to move forward, and you need to take courage, there's a person who can help impart that to you through the power of the Spirit again, and it's Jesus. I'm not a very courageous person by nature. I don't believe so anyway. But through Christ. In fact, let me just tell a story on myself on that. Some of you think, "I don't see you that way, Bert. I see you as kind of, you're always doing stuff." Well, my wife Sheila was on a church planting team that came from Ontario to UBC in Vancouver, and I was one of the students who was reached by that outreach. I had a church background, but I wasn't following the Lord fully at that time. And that team was able to pull me in and show me that Jesus is not just Savior, but he's King and ruler and needs to be that in my life. All that happened. I said yes to all that. And I joined this little campus church. And behind the scenes, because Sheila was on the leadership team, do you know how they used to talk about me, the new guy, the new student? They'd say, "Yeah, that new kid who's coming to church, you know, from that small town, do you think he'll make it? This is after I'm saved. Do you think he'll make it?" In fact, they used to, at baptism, they used to prophesy over you, and they used to put it on a cassette tape. This is in the olden days. So some of you who are really old, you know what a cassette tape is. It's like a recording device on a smartphone, only different. So anyway, they would tape these prophecies, you know, at your time of baptism. And I knew this because after I got saved, I saw other people were getting this, and they're getting this tape. And I had to go back to the small town, or something happened. I got busy with my studies, and I didn't show up for a while to the church. And so, but then I did. I came like a couple months later and I said, hey, I'm here, you know, for my Bible study or whatever it is. And I said, hey, you know, I know that you had that tape where you prophesied over. Can I have that tape? And they said, oh, the person who did the tape ministry said, oh, we didn't think you were going to make it, so we recycled it and put someone else's prophecy on top of it. I said, you didn't even believe your own prophecies. But that to me is just the transforming power of Christ, my King. He can take a guy from a little town in a blue-collar town who people, and the reason they said that was because I was so shy and quiet. And he can transform. If he can transform me, he can transform you, is what I'm trying to say in all of this. Finally, Christ is not only the one who is the compassionate one, the priest. He's not only the King who has the power and courage and can give that to us, but he's also the prophet who speaks over our lives. And I'm purposely doing this one last. Usually you do prophet, priest, and king, but I'm leaving prophet in this message to last because I want to land with this. I want to land with a Christmas thought for each and every one of you. And that is, you have a future, every one of you. You have a future. You have a future. And I'm here to prophesy over your life. It doesn't matter when things look dark or they look dark right now. Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, is speaking over you as prophet that your future is in his hands and no one else. No one else. No one can pluck his future for you away. No one has that power. And I speak a blessing over you in the name of Jesus. And I speak a bright hope as we finish off 2024 and go into 2025. You know, there's been economic struggles. I don't know if you've noticed how much things have gone up in price in the last couple of years, but God can provide, and he will provide for each and every one of us. Whatever it is, we speak hope. We speak blessing at this Christmas. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the women of Christmas that you included in the story. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. We thank you that you are the great prophet, priest, and king for us. And it's just so beautiful that you came so innocently and so vulnerably. And we celebrate that, but we also understand that you're King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you rule heaven and earth. And because of that, Lord, we once again reaffirm that Christ has come, that he's working in the world today, and he will come again in power. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.